You're listening to the CX Pod from TTech and the Customer Strategist Journal. Hi, everyone. I'm Liz Glogowski, Editor-in-Chief of the Customer Strategist Journal. Today, I've gathered experts to discuss a topic on nearly every business leader's mind, the labor crisis. Unemployment is down, competition is up, and companies are challenged to find and keep great employees, which has proven to translate to great customer experiences. So today I'll be speaking with folks at TTech who deal with this every day. Welcome to People Officer Michael Wellman, Judith Almendra, who's the Vice President of Talent Management and Engagement, Tommy Mobbs, Executive Director of Advanced Business Analytics, and Vice President of Human Capital, DJ Valenti. Well, thank you all for being here today and letting me pick your brain about such an important topic. So just to kind of set the stage, people that are in the service organizations really know that there's a labor crisis, that it's hard to find, attract, retain really good talent, especially in customer service and customer care sort of jobs. So just from your perspectives, what are you seeing in the labor market today and why is it such a challenge?
Yeah, I mean, if I look back at the years that I've been in human resources, I think it's been kind of the perfect storm, right? It's been the whole competitiveness in the markets that we're in as it relates to talent and skills of the workforce to a higher demand for more qualified workers and then the wage pressures, right? And if we look at across at least our organization, you know, we have what we call tier one, tier two, and tier three cities, and each of them have their challenges. But it's, you know, the demand, it's kind of that supply and demand, it just keeps intensifying.
And I would add that there's a couple of other things that are really driving it. So, you know, I mean, when you look at, you know, we're one of the lowest unemployment rates in five decades. So we're 3.6% unemployment. We have, you know, there's 7 million active job openings today in the U.S., which is the highest in basically five decades. So I think when you combine that with, you know, as Michael said, you know, the wage pressures, availability of labor, it's a perfect storm for some of these tier one and tier two skill levels.
Yes, and I think the only other thing I would add, I think Michael mentioned perfect storm, right? So in addition to the unemployment rate that DJ mentioned, you have, you know, technology has really like revolutionized or changed the way that consumers behave and truly the way that candidates behave as well. So in a single interaction, you can actually have a candidate apply to multiple jobs at a time. It's much easier for them to actually fill out an application today. On average, they get dozens of responses within the first 24 hours. So that really adds to the competitive nature of the market. Candidates are more informed than ever in terms of what are the salaries that they should be making, what are the options available to them. There's tons of technology that allows them and enables them to have that information readily available. So I think that in combination with the lowest unemployment market, unemployment rate in five decades, like DJ mentioned, it just creates that perfect storm.
So as human capital leaders, how is this changing the way that you're approaching the job and the way that you're approaching business? How were you doing it and how maybe are some things changing or needing to change based on how you guys operate every day?
Yeah, I would say from a human resource perspective across organization, but across others, is that human resources and your people strategy is definitely a differentiator more than ever before. And with that, what are the facts? What are the data? And how does that drive short-term and long-term strategies to overcome these challenges? And I think from a human resource perspective, we're more engaged with client discussions as well as you know, all facets of our business. That being proactive versus reactive. And again, looking at strategies that perhaps in the past we didn't need to think about or be concerned about. But data is probably at the top of the list as it relates to what is the true story and what are the true issues and how do we manage through that. And then last but not least is having more of a collaborative relationship, not just internally, but externally with our clients. And our colleagues, that support organizations and other industries.
So, Tommy, what types of data should companies look at to inform their hiring and employee retention activities?
Well, I think with the recent labor market trends and have seen an exploding amount of applicant new hire ghosting. So that's the term borrowed from the dating world, when applied to the organizational world, translates to prospective and current employees who we thought would show up for interviews or the first day of work or the 100th day of work, simply don't show up. To address this, there's an opportunity to reset the expectations and the psychological contract with current and prospective employees. And the psychological contract is really a set of unwritten rules about what an applicant or new hire expects from an organization, and likewise what that organization expects from an applicant or new hire. And I think being 100% transparent about those expectations will help improve show rates across the board. And there's a huge literature showing as the gap between expectations and reality increases, and you can't see me right now, but I'm stretching out my hands, so too does a lot of the negative outcomes, including some of the harmful ghosting trends that we're seeing today. So we should be examining, understanding, and acting on data that provides insight into our best sources of strong applicants. So for instance, we know from decades of analysis that personal referrals are often the number one best source of strong new hires. And why is that? Well, it gets back to that psychological contract. Their friend or family member or acquaintance has probably already given them that referral a realistic job preview. So they know the good, the bad, the ugly about working at that particular organization. So that new hire is going to go in with eyes wide open. And then post-hire, we need data to understand the key elements that drive retention. So again, we know today's workforce wants to be part of something bigger. So anything you can do to connect their work to the bigger picture will help out. So we should continue to understand and why people leave. I think it's impractical to expect lifelong retention that we saw in decades past. So Gallup and similar research organizations have repeatedly found that at any one time, 50% of millennials are looking at, or at the very least considering, working somewhere else. So with this, I think the key now is to prolong the relationship, make clear opportunities to grow within the organization and part ways amicably when appropriate, and leave the door open for possible future opportunities.
Now, do you see companies and contact centers, do you see them using this data to the amount that they could be?
I think we're starting to see that evolution of taking full advantage of the data, but it's not where it needs to be to have that closed loop of continual improvement.
How then can this data be used? Once you get the data and create some of the insights, how are you seeing it being used to improve some of these hiring and employee engagement efforts?
I think the environment demands that we have that closed loop data infrastructure. So key insights and trends will inform future prioritization and decision-making relative to hiring and engagement, et cetera. And this is a great playground for visionary HC team leaders and human capital team members to explore, what levers yield expected outcomes as far as hiring and engagement go, and which don't. And I think you have to have room for failure. So what we thought might work may produce negligible results, and what we thought may be unimportant may prove to be the centerpiece of an engagement strategy. But I think a data-driven strategy allows us to avoid some of the bias and preconceived notions that all of us as valuable humans bring to the table. So data combined with common sense will oftentimes yield the best solution.
And then DJ, how do you see this data-driven approach impacting the way you do business?
I think that, human capital and human resources, during this labor crisis has transformed from the typical HR administrative task to really, as Michael said, defining the talent strategy and focusing on those things that can help deliver a differentiated outcome. And so we find ourselves, being highly engaged as it relates to the cost of labor, the availability of labor. And, you know, given that we are at income growth levels pre-2008 recession levels, like that has really been a focus of not only what the labor costs, but where is the labor? Where's the best place to go after that labor? And so, you know, it really has changed, I think, the job and the focus that most of us do within HR.
Yes, and I would say, Liz, from the talent acquisition marketing perspective, which my team supports, we truly are being challenged to really go after those passive candidates, which tends to be more qualified. DJ mentioned at the beginning of the conversation that there are 71 million jobs, right, and open jobs, and less than every single person unemployed in the United States. So we really need to go after those passive candidates. So it has challenged us in terms of looking at omni-channel sourcing, doing more digital marketing that we have done before, but also doing more passive, going after passive candidates, doing more headhunting, and truly being looking at ways in which we can be first to have those interactions with the candidates. So leveraging technology to augment the staffing efforts that we're doing has been key throughout this process.
Now, do you have any examples of maybe some insight that you didn't know about before that maybe now you're able to leverage by combining all that information?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the most exciting recent insights we've uncovered, and it might also be a very intuitive one, but I think critical to better understand and act on, is that the linkage between employee engagement and the ultimate customer experience that person provides. So while we've always theorized those things to be linked, we're seeing some of the first large-scale tangible results of just how critical that linkage is. And more specific than employee engagement are team members who, for one reason or another, feel compelled to go above and beyond. And it's these actions, and us nerdy industrial psychologists call them organizational citizenship behaviors. It's those behaviors that seem to be truly driving the differentiated customer experiences. And we're still trying to understand what organizational levers we can pull to maximize the likelihood of increasing the breadth and scope of these types of employees and these great behaviors that create awesome customer experiences so we can continue on improving, attracting, selecting, and developing that kind of talent.
There is an old saying that a great employee experience leads to a great customer experience, and it's good to have data to actually back it up.
Amen. Absolutely. And having those tangible results to point our finger at, I think will really change the game.
So I hear, you know, real time being a big theme throughout our conversation so far. How difficult is it to really get to that real-time information, and how do you guys get there?
Yeah, I would say we've made some significant investments in what I call centers of excellence that are really looking at and mining that data real-time. We've made investments on folks, human capital leaders and operational leaders that are sitting in our locations that are true professionals, and they're able to kind of ear to the ground on hearing what's going on and networking. And so I think we've made some investments in those areas. And I truly believe training and developing, but also hiring talent that really can understand the business, the drivers, and really understand the markets we're in, but also what's going on across the regions.
I would say that, you know, for the most part, we've made significant enhancement in terms of how we get data and the speed at which we get data. I think where we still see challenges in terms is where we're relying upon, you know, outside sources for those data, whether it be government agencies and or consultants as it relates to markets, unemployment rates, competition, saturation levels. It's very much a moving target in terms of when and how you get that data. And so I think you know, that challenge and struggle will continue, because those pieces are very much a vital part of what Michael was talking about.
removing some of the manual process that used to happen in the past to consolidate the data and connect the dots between the different data points has really allowed us to be much more efficient and much more proactive and really have those data points more readily available to us. It's still something that we continue to evolve. To DJ's point, you know, sometimes we have to rely on external sources. And there's sometimes a lag between when we get that information, but adding automation to data, it really helps us with that real-time component and allows us to have access to the information right away.
Can you talk then about some of the people aspects of how the human capital organization is evolving?
Yeah, I mean, I go back to, we have a global people strategy that is focused on three core areas. One is human capital delivery. Some of that is our COEs and our expertise, but also it's the tools, not only for human capital leaders, but also our business leaders and people leaders. And as Judith mentioned earlier, more around technology, process, policy, and really providing tools and an experience for our employees that are memorable. I think the other two aspects of the plan is, one is our total reward strategy, so more around our compensation, our benefits, other perks of the job, like tuition reimbursement, vacation time, et cetera, that we've built a plan that's more the voice of our employee versus driven from the top down. And so our employees have made it known on what they would like to see us invest in as it relates to total rewards. And the last but not least is more of a talent strategy that's kind of like a factory. You're building it internally and externally, and having that strong brand, both through social media and other avenues, that are focused around our image, from our leadership to our environment, to that, you know, really creating career pathing and opportunities for candidates or employees, but also a process in regards to when you are interested in applying for a job, that it's easy to understand what TTEC offers, what we do, what are the services we provide, and a process that doesn't take a lot of time and energy from the candidate, but is something that really keeps them engaged through that hiring process. And then internally, really focused on what we're doing to provide job opportunities and career paths.
I would say the other piece that we're really working to build out as it relates to our employee value prop, and we're seeing this more and more, you know, amongst the generation of employees that we now employ in those tier one and tier two levels, is sense of community and how an organization not only you know supports the communities they're in, but how environmentally responsible are they? How focused are they on giving back to, you know, less fortunate folks that reside in the communities in which we operate? And so, you know, we've had to make significant strides in those areas, obviously, to appeal and become more appealing to folks, you know, in those levels that we now employ.
And I think from the branding perspective, you know, I strongly believe that brands are built with experiences now. It really is not defined by the organization. It's defined, employers' brands are defined by the employees. And we really leverage and focus on having our employees tell their testimonials, tell their stories of their life at TTEC, and truly share that through, like Michael was saying, through social channels and other forums. But we focus on making sure that we have the programs that can establish a positive engagement. We're very proud that we have a best-in-class employee engagement. We truly believe that happy employees makes happy customers. So when it comes to that, it's just really leveraging and having our employees tell their story of what it is to have or to be part of TTEC. And to DJ's point, really focus on all the different things that trigger or that make someone excited about working in an organization. What are the value propositions that we offer and how that aligns to the aspirations that employees may have, whether that's they are looking for, whether it's work-life balance, giving back to the community, career pathing, continuous development. So our programs are established in a way that can offer that full holistic approach to an individual to make sure that they feel fulfilled and can reach their full potential within the organization. So keeping them engaged and keeping them excited and showing them what's the career path within the company is something that is very critical to us.
What would you say then is the biggest challenge each of you has in your individual responsibilities for the human capital?
No matter what industry you're working in, if it's people-centric, from an HR perspective, all HR professionals are being challenged day in and day out. It's, you know, the sense of urgency, being smart about your strategies, and making sure it's not just human resources that's carrying the responsibility to solve it. It's a company challenge that everybody's playing a part, and it's got to be very collaborative. And there's some investments that you have to make as well.
I think clearly the subject of this discussion, you know, labor crisis, labor availability, labor attraction, and labor retention are, and everything that goes into that potpourri is our main focus and really our main challenge at the same time.
Yes, I would agree with that. I think those two components, right? It really creates, how do you make sure that you are differentiating yourself to be able to attract the talent, that the qualified talent that we need, and be able to fulfill their expectations and retain them and keep them excited and happy across the organization. So it's hard to pinpoint one challenge, because I think the labor market has created multiple challenges. We see conversion rates continue to drop. You have to talk to a lot more applicants now in order to be able to create that one new hire and that one successful new hire. So I think it's just a domino effect that creates a lot of challenges across the entire employee life cycle.
You know, we're talking mostly about labor crisis issues that are happening in the U.S., but how does what's happening in the U.S. impact other markets or compare to other markets?
If you look across the globe, there's some similarities as it relates to wage, skill level, you know, requirements that either our clients or TTEC is requiring that makes it challenging, or just the sheer numbers. Because, you know, in a strong economy, mostly all businesses are growing, but it's growing at a pace that sometimes, again, there's not enough skilled people to be able to do that, to be able to fulfill that need or that request.
When I talk about labor topics with people, usually the first thing that comes to mind is, well, just pay people more and we solve the problem. So what would you say to that? Because that's really not the way to solve it, or the only way to solve it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes back to, it's the environment that we, you know, that the employees are, that we've created and offered to our employees. And, you know, that environment includes a growing, caring environment, right? A supervisor that's skilled, that's there and supportive, that we're paid consistently, fairly, that we're creating, you know, training opportunities and career pathing, that, you know, rewarding performance, we're giving back to the communities that we're in. So those are kind of the core areas as it relates to other things that tie back to our value proposition.
Wages are just so foundational, right? When we look at it similar to a Maslow hierarchy, it is something that is required. Everybody wants to make sure that they are being fairly compensated for the work that they do. But that's really not going to help you compete in this kind of market. All the different factors and variables that Michael mentioned that make part of our value proposition, from a scheduling, having a strong manager, open communication, it truly is what starts building employee engagement and really reaching to that top of that hierarchy, where we can get employees truly not necessarily just being happy with the organization, but being proud of being part of the organization. That's what we are striving to have. Employees that are proud to tell others that work for TTEC. That's what we measure through our engagement surveys. And like I said, compensation is definitely it's a must have, but it is not the only factor that can help us compete in a very tight labor market like what we're experiencing right now.
What advice do you have for other business leaders in similar situations about how to manage some of these labor issues that that you're working with, just from your each of your perspective?
Everything that we do needs to be people-centric. I think if you think about your employee experience and everything that we offer to our employees with the people in mind, in terms of the experience that they have during the recruitment process, the compensation that they receive, the aspirations and how we provide or how we deliver on those aspirations, as long as you have kind of like the lens of the employee, you will be okay. And obviously leveraging technology to augment what you are doing to make your processes and your offerings more efficient. But technology should be able to augment those, but still continue to have that human touch and that personal touch and deliver truly a human interaction at every stage of the employee life cycle.
Yeah, it's so important than ever before to be a very professional, strategic, and collaborative organization. And as HR professionals, that you have to be using data and analytics to help drive a message or a plan. And it just can't be something that, you know, you have to use the data and the facts to do that. And then last but not least, you know, you find out what leaders are all about during difficult times. And being HR professionals, you have to be the voice and be that professional of the organization and make sure that you're collaborative with your business partners. And it's a level of dialogue and discussion that's professional, consultative, but also action oriented.
And I would say, and I would add to what Judith and Michael said, I think, you know, if you're a business leader, you've got to, in terms of the labor crisis, I think you've got to know, you know, what your market is for your labor. What are some of those auxiliary feeders of labor into your main population of where you get your labor? And I think you also need to understand, you know, what are some of the factors that you have in your environment that are potentially dissatisfiers and how you fix them? And how do you create that brand, not only to external potential employees, but to your current employees, I think is most important.
We've been able to, with data, this team has done a great job really positioning the discussions different than they've ever been before. We continue to educate the importance of the employee life cycle and that every step of the way is a direct correlation to retention. And our goal is to continue to extend the life cycle of the employee, because then that puts less pressure on the locations or the regions or the sites to the amount of people we need to hire. And again, you know, our goal is to create that environment where we're retaining our employees longer. They understand their career path. They have a strong relationship with their supervisor, and we're leveraging that talent just not for frontline, but also for other talent gaps we have because of the market we're dealing with today.
Thank you so much for sharing your insights with us today. Really valuable, and we really appreciate all the work that you guys do. So thank you.
To learn more about bringing humanity to business, come see us at ttech.com or subscribe to our journal at customerstrategistjournal.com. Thanks. See you next time.